I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for a noon kick.
Let's go, babe. Come on. Let's have some fun, man.
This is Danny and Dusty on Football Friday.
You gotta see it. You gotta see it.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
It's a Football Friday edition here on Danny and Dusty. Danny Morang, Dusty Hera out on his way, actually now in Ann Arbor, Michigan for Ducks Wolverines. Will Ortner.
What's
in for,
up?
In for Dusty. Jeff Russ behind the glass.
Holla at your boy.
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. It's craptacular outside. Boy, it's
wet, dude.
It's disgusting outside. I actually pulled out like the actual like waterproof jacket. And I don't do that often, but I was like, when I left the house, it was pouring.
Mm-hmm.
Not the, like, even, it was one of those things where it's like, hey, it's a very short trip from my front door to my car.
Yeah.
I don't want to get that wet.
Yeah. It's like, remember the part in Forrest Gump where he's describing all the little, the different kinds of rain, and when he was in Vietnam, you know, you got your big old fat raindrops,
yeah,
you're coming up from the water. You got the little itty bitty stinging rain. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was a pain in the butt. I had to take my mom to the airport this morning.
Oof.
And,
Friday airport trip, huh?
Yeah. She's going to Alaska. Got to get her run in. She's never been to Alaska, so my mom's doing this whole thing where she's getting a
Does
run in each state.
Does she know that it's, like, dumping all of the snow in the world right now?
Yeah, yeah. Her friend's already up there, because they're going up to watch her friend's daughter play some volleyball.
Okay.
And so the friend is already up there, and she's like, look, it's already snowy. And my mom's like, I ran in Moscow, Russia. Like, I'll be okay. As long as it's not icy.
No, it's... Like, well, yeah. I was literally talking to, I've got a friend who's stationed up at Eielson Air Force Base right now. Him and I were playing some Call of Duty last night, and I'm like, how you doing, man? And he goes, I can't leave. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, there's like 4 feet of snow outside my door right now. He goes, even if I wanted to, I can't leave right now. I'm like, oh, it's that bad? He's like, it's been snowing for 2 days.
Yeah. An underrated movie set in Alaska, Insomnia. Pacino and Robin Williams and Hilary Swank.
Mm-hmm.
Good movie.
A lot of non-sleeping in that, or what's up?
Yeah, well, it's because it's during the summer. Yes, exactly. Because it's during the summertime in Alaska when the sun basically never goes down.
That's awesome. I've always wanted to be a part of that. Like, right now, it barely even comes up.
No, you don't want to be a part of
it.
No, it makes you crazy.
Just for like a week.
And that's the whole point of it. Like,
and that's why you don't sleep.
Pacino goes nuts in that movie. Yeah. And Robin Williams is at like his creepy best.
Yes.
Okay, what movie?
Like that and 1 Hour Photo.
What movie does Pacino not go nuts in, though?
No, but it's like...
Different kind of nuts.
Yeah, it's a different... It's the crazy because of the sun never going down.
So... the closest I've been to like I've done survival school up in Alaska, and it was not quite that bad. It was like 20 hours of sunshine when I was up there, so I didn't get the full like.
That seems cool.
It screws with you.
It does.
Really does.
Yeah.
Really?
It messes with your circadian rhythms.
There you go. I've had the other side of it where you only have like 5 hours of sun. In North Dakota, you know, I'd get up at about 4:30 in the morning. It's pitch black outside. This is in the winter.
Yeah.
Go to the gym, drive into work, and I work underground. I would get out of work at like 4, and it's pitch black outside.
So yeah, so like, it's dark the whole time.
But so it was like this for like 6 weeks, and unless you like poked your head outside at noon,
mm-hmm,
and even then, like you just didn't get much, you wouldn't see the sun for weeks, man. And it was like, what the hell is this?
See, but
it messed with me.
I don't want that. I want sun all the time. Even I want
it's
to
the
play.
Same thing, though. No, it makes you crazy. I'm telling you,
that's
dude.
That's fine. I can be crazy. I want to play wiffle ball at midnight. Like, every time I hear Sukanik talk about that, yeah. I'm like, yes, no, I mean, that would rock.
The first time it's like 10:30 at night and the sun is just like in the middle of the sky.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, what the hell?
Will's messing around with the old FAFO chart.
Yeah.
About to find out.
Yeah. No, it's yeah. Like it makes you, it's like when you try to grapple with like the expanse of space, when mm-hmm. you get the same kind of feeling. Like your brain just kind of melts like a hot pat of butter or a pat of butter on a hot pan. And you're just like, this doesn't make sense.
See, I'm really on the FAFO chart today because I'm really playing with it because I want all of this. Mm. I'm also in a war with my new sister-in-law. I've gone to war with her.
Over.
I got a text. Let me read it for you. This was sent into the family group chat, and I think it's a purpose pitch by her. Oh, she has finally... look, we are very excited to have her a part of the family, and she is lovely. But she knows that she can now start pushing her weight around now that she's married mm-hmm. to my brother. It's officially Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. Today through December 25th, we will be celebrating Christmas. On November 27th, we will take a one-day intermission to give thanks. Then Christmas is back on.
This is disgusting.
And now like I'm disgusting in a war. Behavior. No, I'm in a like, war. I have to defend.
I will give. I will
the
put
calendar.
I will put my banner up alongside Will Ordner.
Yeah. I'm right.
Yeah. No, you are.
You are right.
You
are. Yeah.
You have to wait until after Thanksgiving.
Yes. And I don't remember if I saw this after or said this on the show the other day or not. But like 2 weeks ago, I was at Michael's with one of my daughters.
Yeah.
And they had literally like one aisle of Halloween stuff left, and then it was all Christmas.
No. No, see, that is Bush League.
And we're talking mid-October.
Julius Caesar fought so that we could have a normal traditional calendar. You cannot come in here and ignore it. That's anarchy. We cannot have this.
That's actually what the Civil War was about.
No, wrong. This is what that play by William Shakespeare was about. Yeah. This is why Brutus stabbed him. Brutus was a Christmas all the time.
So this guy. Normal
E2, Brutus?
This normal calendar, do we remember still how like all of the what is it, the Latin or prefixes of the months do not mesh in the last four or so months of the year?
Well, yeah, that's because of Julius, July, and then Augustus Caesar, August.
And then September, Sept,
it's supposed to be seven.
But it's the ninth month, October, eight, which is the 10th.
Because originally there were 10, but
yeah,
Caesar.
So thanks,
and Augustus.
Caesar. Mm.
So look, Caesar.
Look,
Caesar
yeah, you have a fine
a
salad, but you know
he messed everything else up. But he's right on this.
What did Julius get? I mean, he got a month. It didn't get.
I don't know what a stab wound.
An orange.
He got to be the first emperor. He orange. Made it not a
I
democracy.
Prefer the strawberry banana
see,
one
like
myself.
It took you a second. Yeah, orange Julius.
I missed it. Dang it.
All I'm saying. That's when I know it's good, when it slides by Russ for a split for second. It's like, there it is.
You got me. Yeah. You got me. My mouth was open on that one.
I'm anti skipping Thanksgiving. And I'm not even the biggest Thanksgiving guy. There's a calendar for a reason. You don't get to jump Thanksgiving.
I dig on the Thanksgiving because it gives me an excuse to be gluttonous on the mashed potatoes and gravy and
there
stuffing.
You go.
Right? Right?
Yeah. And have about four dinner rolls, mopping up all the rest of the gravy and, yeah.
Big peanut butter pie guy.
I mean, we can talk about when we get to Thanksgiving. I am the most childlike on Thanksgiving in the sense of I don't want eight different things on my plate.
Yeah,
I want the turkey and ham, and even then, I
so
want,
we didn't even go with it. We don't even mess around with ham. It's just turkey.
I'd rather have ham than turkey.
Yeah, ham's for Christmas at our house.
I agree. But
Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day is the prime rib.
Yep. Exactly.
Yes. We're more of a prime rib on Christmas. Occasionally a ham, but there's usually a turkey and ham at Thanksgiving wherever we go. But then mashed potatoes, gravy, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rolls.
Mm-hmm.
And that might be it.
I'll throw in, and this never happened until I was a grown up, until I was an adult, but I do dig on the green bean casserole.
See,
at 22, yeah, that's green, when it changes, and
but
you can
eat it. Has to have bacon. If you don't put bacon in your green bean casserole, you can screw right off.
No, look, green beans is one of, like, my green beans and asparagus are two things that I don't eat.
Oh, see, the green bean casserole, and I even one year, we made, like, an Italian version of it, so instead of the bacon, it was pancetta, and you throw in some Parmesan cheese and rosemary.
There you go. There's that rosemary.
I like the yams, dude. The yams with a little bit of marshmallow on top.
That's not me.
This is
all this
extra stuff.
Not my thing.
Like, everyone's like, oh, what about the pumpkin pie? I'm like, I'm good. I just want to take my little Hawaiian rolls, rip them in half, put my ham inside, and dip it in the mashed potatoes.
And I don't want the Hawaiian ones. I want the straight, like, just plain white dinner roll. Like the things that you used to get basically when you were a kid in elementary school.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Those are also acceptable. Yeah. The roasted top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm 100%.
Where they're all, you got to pull them apart. Pull apart.
But the Hawaiian roll is kind of the same vein.
The King's Hawaiian, they make those, the white dinner roll version.
That's typically what we'll go with. But
you got the Hoppins or the Howleys.
Three things. Like, it's weird because I eat eclectically the rest of the year as far as, like, what I'm willing to eat. But Thanksgiving, it's like the scope narrows very, 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 very tightly.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man.
Meat, potatoes, bread.
Yeah, that's
it. Green bean casserole.
That's it.
I take a lot of those.
Oh, and the stuffing.
The Hawaiian rolls.
And all of it gets gravy.
Dude.
Yeah.
See, anti-gravy. I know, that's a bad stance. I know it's a bad stance on my part. I'm aware.
Man.
Anti-gravy. But I take all the Hawaiian rolls and I put all the turkey in there. And then sometimes if I can steal some of the extra bacon, put that next to it. And then I put a little bit of Frank's hot sauce. It's great.
And then the day after,
the leftovers, oh, it's beautiful.
Hey, look, leftovers, I do the exact same thing. I am not a stuffing person. I am not a desserts person. It's just not my jam. So,
love jam.
Day after, do the same thing. Except this time, you warm up the potatoes and the ham or potatoes and the turkey, and they both go directly in the roll as opposed to being dipped. Like, you turn it into a little samey, right?
Mm. Yeah,
I think that's the way. At least for me. Like, again, I turn into a child on Thanksgiving. It's very, very. Like, I don't want anything else. Those are the things that I want.
But that's the way it should be. And, like, my mom makes a great peanut butter pie, and I love eating the peanut butter pie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so good. And it's trying to be stolen from me by my new wonderful sister-in-law.
Yeah, no, that's weird.
My wife makes one, too.
We can't have this.
It's just, it's that plain, like, chocolate-like Keebler crust, and you get the peanut butter filling with the...
She does some kind of Oreo thing, too.
You can do the Oreo or the chocolate one, yeah.
It's so good.
You got some cream cheese in there, and it's nice and whipped, a lot of powdered sugar. We throw in the little mini chocolate chips in
it.
And then top it with either more of the mini chocolate chips or Reese's Pieces.
100%.
Vancouver text line, that is a serial killer level text. Christmas season doesn't start until after Thanksgiving. Yes.
Yes. No.
From one serial killer to another, it is.
You have
the correct take.
100%.
No, they're banding together, too, because the next text underneath that was from my mother, and she was like, my wonderful mother.
Are neither of them, like, pumpkin spice latte fall people?
The sister-in-law is. My mother's not coffee. She's anti-coffee.
Usually the pumpkin spice fall people, they want to, like, bask in the
she
fall.
She might. I don't know if
or
my
she,
new
Or
sister.
She more peppermint latte.
She likes it all, dude. She's big. She's big coffee. Mm. Like, she's a pro coffee drinker. I'm just saying that, like, the calendar has to have meaning. But now my mom, I think my mom has been shut out because it was a boys' club in the Ortner family group chat for a very long time. Because as soon as this idea was pitched, I almost feel like they talked about it beforehand. It got pitched, and mom co-signed it right away.
Yeah, see, like, I'm not a coffee guy, and not the pumpkin spice, but one of my favorite, like, holiday drinks, if you go to the joint that is siblings of Dutch descent, shall we say, it's called the Christmas Morning, and it's a white chocolate chai brevet, and it's amazing.
Get
some whipped cream on there and some peppermint sprinkles.
I'm trying to figure out who is of Dutch descent.
The siblings of Dutch descent. Let's think about this real hard.
Oh, I thought you meant like a branch off of from the Dutch descent.
No.
A coffee stand. Brotherly, perhaps.
Yes.
Oh, no, I know what he means now. I thought that there was a split. There was like one of the brothers got upset with the other brother. Like Steve couldn't take what was going on with Adam anymore. So Adam left. Adam's doing his own thing.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
I didn't know.
People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
That's a great drop.
It is.
I did not.
I don't get to play that one much.
See, there's people texting Goldman, in right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember him
Michael
saying
Caine. Michael Caine. Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
One of the more interesting things is Michael Caine's actual given birth name. It's not Michael Caine. It's not Michael Caine.
Oh.
Maurice Micklewhite.
I like that
is
better.
His given name.
I like that better.
Maurice Micklewhite.
I think we didn't even bring Maurice back. Again, my wife and I are discussing baby names right now.
Yeah.
And, we found some interesting ones. Every time I like, I started doing the most popular names this year. Mm-hmm. And then what I started doing was working my way backwards.
Yeah, because exactly. The ones at the top, like those are the ones that we avoided.
Yeah, I was yes. like, but I mean, in years.
It's like, guess what? We're going to have nine Liams in this kindergarten class. God.
I will allow you to name your child William.
Also, Xander apparently is
the boy.
Zan. Yeah, lots of Xanders.
X is making a comeback.
Yeah.
Well,
was that
Xavier.
From Charmed or was that like Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Which one was that? I think it was Buffy.
I think so.
Yeah.
Real Bros of Simi Valley. That's big Xander.
Yeah. Sure.
Zahn. Yeah. I'm a teacher. I should know this. Hannah's always big. Hannah is a big
really?
Name. Oh, yeah.
That must be making a comeback then.
I think it made its comeback when I was in school. Because every class I had from kindergarten all the way through to college, there was a Hannah in there somewhere.
Sorry,
we're like hermetically sealed boxes and Jeff Ross is killing bugs inside.
How does a fruit fly wind up in here?
Do you have fruit in there?
No. Really? Look at me. You think I'm bringing fruit with me to work?
I don't know.
Maybe a pie? Some jam or some jelly? Fruit adjacent? Fruit leather? If you have a pie in there, don't tweet out how you eat it. Oh, be very mean to you.
Another, jeez. Another given birth name that you might not suspect for somebody.
Don't look like you had sex with it then.
I didn't. I just ate it. The dumbest thing about that is I tweeted out that picture like people are going to be so upset with me that I didn't cut out a piece of pie and just ate the pie straight from the thing.
Oh, my God. This one time at band camp.
I was so stupid. Like, I tweeted. Here's the worst part
about
that.
For those that are wondering, Will tweeted out a picture of a pie that looked like he put his junk in it.
Yeah.
No.
No. 100%.
No. It was 100%. Too big of a bite. It was too big of a bite. It could clearly have not been too big of a bite.
I'm not saying that was the bite was the imprint. I'm saying it looks like you wiggled around it.
No, it looked like you had your way with it.
No. You guys are all gross, disgusting animals who have watched a movie that I've seen through like five of.
Go search back a couple weeks in Will's timeline.
You can find it. It's not very hard. At Will Order. To follow.
I will grab the 1080 account right now. Go grab it. Does it look and retweet it with? Does it look like Will had sex with this pie?
No, the overwhelming majority did it, and I lost.
Yes. Yeah.
But here's the dumb part about that. I cooked the pie. I started eating out of the pie, and I was like, "This will be really funny," because
so close.
No,
so close.
I was like, "This will be really funny." Because instead of cutting a slice out, I will just eat the pie normally, and everyone will be upset that I didn't cut a slice out of the pie. And then I tweeted it, put my phone in my pocket, got in my car, have Do Not Disturb on in my car, drove to work for 45 minutes. So
are you going like a pie eating contest? Are you getting this pie all over your face?
No, because I came right to work. And so I like pulled my phone out. And I had no idea. And I'm like, I have 1,000 like messages here. Look, good for me. I have figured out Twitter. Mm. And then it's all Will Bangs Pies. And it's like, no, hold on. What happened? What are you talking about?
That's a hell of a band name for a punk rock band.
Dude, we've been Will Bangs Pies. Thank you, Portland. I was rattled. Like,
you
catch
the new
movies are you guys watching?
You catch the latest WBP?
Dude, I just sat there and was like, I got American Pie. That's brutal. That's brutal.
There you go.
Just trying to enjoy my cherry pie.
Well, speaking of getting screwed over.
Just like Janie Lane and Warrant.
Right?
Yeah. Great song.
Let's get this show started. Maybe the Texans got a little screwed over last night as C.J. Stroud had his worst game as a pro, and the Jets are maybe back on track. Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Those palaces in the desert are built that way for a reason. They got all of us with the big bait, giving the Texans plus 2. Instead, the New York Jets flipped the script, win 21-13 on Thursday night in an absolute stinker from this Texan. C.J. Stroud, his worst game as a pro, 11 of 30, a buck 91, sacked 8 bleeping times.
The O-line's bad.
You've got your tackle out. They're hunting now for some help and some replacements.
Do we even have David Carr saying, boy, that offensive line is really bad?
That looks familiar.
David Carr's I wish I had that offensive line.
That's better.
Only 8?
The interesting thing was Joe Mixon was actually still able to run effectively in spite of the offensive line just being a complete sieve. The pushback, I think, the counterpoint, I think, to this is even that even with the Texans' offensive line issues the last couple weeks, the Jets' defensive line hasn't lived up to its billing. Mm-hmm. They've got dudes, and they have not been effective. This is really the first week where you saw it all kind of come together. And Hassan Reddick did make his debut for the Jets, gets out there, and he does register a sack, but it wasn't just him. When you get 8 sacks, that's not one person going off. That's your whole defensive line getting pressure all game long. And it's not like the Jets were up early and often just punking points. The Jets didn't score until the second half.
Right. Well, I mean, the big thing is you got Quinnen Williams going, too.
Yes.
Quinnen Williams had 1.5 sacks in this game. He was all over the field. But when you can get that pressure from the middle, it's why the Rams were so good, where they had a relatively average D-line, maybe slightly above, but they had Aaron Donald.
Who demanded a double at minimum and sometimes a triple team.
But when you get pressure up the middle, it's different than getting it on the sides, mm-hmm. because if you're getting pressure on the sides, the quarterback, unless he's looking that way, he's not going to see it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes he doesn't even know, oh, hey, here it comes, right? When it's in the middle and it's in his face, that's when you're going to see a lot of quarterbacks, instead of looking downfield and continue to try and find someone open, your eyes drop. And now it's, how do I get out of here? And it stops becoming a, how can I scramble or move around to find someone open down the field? It turns into, how can I get out of this so I don't get hit by that very large man? Right now, this year, you're seeing a lot of success for that Kansas City defense, because that's exactly what Chris Jones is doing. That's why the Seahawks went out and got Byron Murphy, because they think that he can be that type of guy. When Quinnen Williams is at his best, and he was able to do that because you do get Hassan Reddick back. So now he demands more attention on the outside at that edge rusher position. You can't focus as much on Williams. You can't double team him as much. And now in a one-on-one matchup, he was just eating. And to be honest with you, Stroud got sacked 8 times. He still ran for 59 yards on the ground. Mm-hmm. It should have been worse when it came to the sack department.
Yes.
If that's Kirk Cousins back there, I mean, if that's Davis Mills, your backup, mm-hmm. it looks 1,000 times worse. And that's why I think that Stroud's passing game was so off. He was throwing deep balls early, all game long, especially in the third and fourth quarter, because he didn't want to get hit anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you had 11 targets in the game that were either disrupted or dropped.
Yeah.
11. I mean, just going down the list, Ogunbowale, 3 targets, no catches. Cade Stover, 2 targets, no catches. Michi, 2 targets, no catches. Xavier Hutchinson, 3 targets, no catches. That's a weird thing to see.
And he was missing. Mechie should have had a touchdown.
Yeah.
Mechie was open, should have had a touchdown. And C.J. Stroud misses him because he's throwing it early. Mm-hmm. He threw it a step earlier than when he normally would throw that ball.
And you could, again, this is his worst game of his career as a pro. He was rattled. He was off time, mm-hmm. off time, off balance. He just, it 100%. Looked weird. And you have to give the Jets credit. Now, offensively, Aaron Rodgers went to the well. That is Devontae Adams.
Yes, he did.
He said, I know where this guy's going to be. I don't care what our play call is. I know that, you know, when I want to go to him, it's going to be there. Now, it looked a little bit weird last week. Rightfully so, as he's trying to sort through some things, and he probably forced the ball to Devontae a few too many times, and that's, I think, what led to that. But you also had Garrett Wilson make the catch of the year.
I am still confused, I think, and I can't believe in the year of 2024, what's a catch? What is different about what he did than what George Pickens did on Sunday night?
That was the
what's
very,
different?
Right when I saw that catch, I was like, how is that different? Yes, because it's the same foot that tapped twice, basically. When then he got the shin, too, I guess.
That's the thing.
That's why the shin
catch. Other thing that, like, Dirt and Sprague talked about is, why is it that you need 2 feet down, but you need one shin? You need one knee. You need one elbow. Well, we need one hip.
I thought the shin counts as an extra foot. So, like, It was the same leg, though,
as the first toe tap.
Agree. And so that's why I'm confused. Because, like...
But one shin, and the
only reason that his shin gets down is because his foot hit, and then it, like, flicked up as he went down. What is the difference? Like, in my eyes, I thought the George Pickens catch was a catch.
Should be.
I thought it was more of a catch.
If you're talking about 2 feet, why does it have to be two different feet?
Right. And I thought it was more of a catch than what Wilson had.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, Wilson's is a catch and it's a touch. There has to be a more clear rule. There just has to be. That's, if Pickens' catch isn't a catch, that's not a catch. That being said, what an unbelievable catch.
It was an absolutely insane catch. And yes, the freeze frame does look exactly like the Jordan brand logo, which is hilarious.
I was going to say, who is his shoe sponsor?
Yeah, he's a Adidas guy. Is he? Did you guys catch Devontae Adams?
Oh, yeah. Adams is already like, hey, I'm going to get you in with some of my boys.
He's a Jordan brand guy.
Like, I got you.
He said, Devontae Adams, about Garrett Wilson, the postgame, said, I told him he might get kicked from Adidas after that one. That one looked like he was headed over to Jumpman with me. I'm going to go talk to some people. Is this a one-off, or are the Texans in trouble?
Well, you're going to get Nico Collins back, and I would not.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a bit not having Diggs.
I would say you're not in trouble, but you're definitely like you're flirting with it. You're flirting with some danger, because as good as you have looked most of this year, that offensive line looked really rough.
And you're going to need a different receiver to step up a bit some and take some of that focus off of Nico Harrison, because that's why they got Stephon Diggs there.
Right. Well, but so you have Tank Dell. Tank Dell had 6 catches, 126 yards. Tank Dell is a great number two. He's going to get to be the number two once you get Nico Collins back. That also then opens more stuff
Collins,
up.
I said Harrison, sorry.
You're okay. Yeah, that
brain fart.
I knew what you meant. And that'll open up more stuff for Dalton Schultz, too. So, like, yes, you would love to have Stephon Diggs there. That's obviously why you brought him in. But I do think that you'll get more of a version of the Texans from last year, at least offensively. The difference is this year, their defense is miles ahead of what they were the year before, because they've been in D'Amico's system now for 2 years. So more of the unspoken things are getting done. More of the things where you have to build chemistry to be able to, oh, that guy went to the wrong gap. I can see he's in the wrong gap, but I'm now going to fix it for him at the linebacker position. Or the linebackers are making the check early on. You're allowing more exotic fire zones. You're allowing more blitz packages. You're trusting your safeties and your corners to know when to rock and roll and not have to sit back into cover twos and cover fours to make sure that no one gets beat deep. You're able to do more now that you've had this system go for a while, right? So I think that this Texans team is going to be better. I do think it's more of a one-off, but I would be worried about the offensive line.
And that's the thing, even with the trade deadline, they're probably not going to be able to fix. And if they're going to figure this out, they've got to address that. As for the Jets, I don't know if they're getting on track. They sucked less last night. They're going to have to do a lot, but in that division and in that conference, there's not a lot that you have to do, because we know that there's 4 teams at the top of the AFC. After that, if you go on a run, if you win 5 out of 6, if you win 4 out of 5, any team that's got 3 wins right now can be right back in it.
Yeah, but
it's dumb.
You're the Jets.
Oh,
the run you have to go on with how you've looked, you have to beat the Cardinals, who have been frisky. You have to beat the Colts, who with Flacco have looked 1,000 times better. You have to beat the Seahawks, and there's a bye in there. But then you get the Seahawks, who knows what you're going to get there. You're going to get the Dolphins, hopefully two is there, Jaguars, Rams, Bills, Dolphins to end the season. You get what, one loss? Maybe yeah, two. I mean, you maybe, get one, maybe two. How, like, you have to be almost
those,
perfect.
How many of those teams are really scaring you?
Bills?
Yeah.
Buffalo? Yeah. The Cardinals can be frisky. But, Seattle yeah,
but,
could be frisky.
But again, it's all frisky. It's like, how many of those teams, like, if I told you the Jets started to figure out their defensive start was playing like this, that their pass rush was the maniacal beast that we kind of thought it was going to be, and Rodgers is finding his playmakers, and what they have managed to do this year, regardless, is run the ball. Breece Hall has been effective for the year.
I know, he's on my fantasy team. And I'm very happy about it.
And if you keep that running game going late into the season, and now you've got two targets that Rodgers infinitely trusts, and he looks more like himself. I don't think it's crazy to think that they could go on a Super Bowl run. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they could find themselves in the thick of things and find themselves in a playoff spot. Because again, after that top four in the AFC, it feels like it's really anybody's game.
Everyone's mashed. I don't think it's crazy, but to me, when I hear you talking about it, it's probably the same as when I go up to my buddies and I go, look at this 5-team parlay.
Yes, yeah.
You know what I mean? 100%. It's like, look at this 5-team parlay.
You could pick 5 teams right now in the AFC and go, that you could make a case for them.
Fair. And that's kind of the point of the season that we're in, though. Yes. Like, you have to continue to win week in and week out. But the other thing about this game is, in the fourth quarter, New York looked good. Quarters 1-3 offensively, I wasn't all that impressed. Defensively, yes.
And again, 100%. Remember that Garrett Wilson touchdown was on a 3rd and 19.
Yeah, they just chucked it up.
So,
and it's an incredible play. It's an incredible catch.
Everything looks better when you score points.
It's a lot easier to be optimistic when you win than it is when you lose. And I think that there are some people in the Jets organization that unfortunately might just be learning that.
Mm. All right, coming up next, the Oregon Ducks play the Michigan Wolverines in a Big Ten showdown, but it is a bigger Big Ten showdown. The Ohio State Buckeyes take on the Penn State Nittany Lions this week in a battle for supremacy, or at least the second spot, in a potential Big Ten title game. We'll get to that and more, but first, here's the Big Kahuna with a Sports Center update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
The Ohio State Buckeyes travel to Penn State to take on the Nittany Lions in a top 5 matchup, number 3 versus number 4.
Can't wait.
And a lot is on the line here, because if Penn State manages to win this game, it effectively knocks Ohio State out of the Big Ten title game.
Yeah.
No. They will have 2 conference losses, and they will fall to 3-2 in conference. And they will be 3-2 with Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin.
Ohio State has to win this game if they want a chance to get to Indianapolis with the way that Indiana's been playing.
I mean, it's the thing. You would have Indiana, Oregon, and Penn State now all undefeated, and you would need one of those to drop 2 to catch up.
And this essentially, and you're going to play Indiana, but essentially this is a championship game eliminator for Ohio State, but I'd make the argument that this is a playoff clincher for Penn State. Now, yes, obviously you have to still like win, but even if Oregon loses one game, Oregon's going to be in the playoff. Penn State, if they beat Ohio State, they put themselves in the exact same boat.
Yeah, and their final 4 is UW, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland.
Purdue's horrible. Maryland's horrible. Minnesota can be frisky. UW can be frisky. Yeah. Like, you're not losing 3 games. Because if right now, when you look at the playoff, it essentially is, there might be 1, maybe 2 in an extreme long shot, teams that get in with 3 losses. They're probably going to be from the SEC.
Yeah, I would imagine that's the case.
It's going to be a team like LSU, or it's going to be a team like Alabama.
You could get a team that has 2 losses in the SEC title game.
100%.
That loses in the SEC title game. And then finds a way and ends up is your 11 or 12
seed. I think it's more likely in the SEC that you have their doomsday, where there's like 4 teams with one or two losses, and that's going to be what it is. But right now, as you look at it, it's a bigger game than this Penn State-Ohio State game has been in the last 10 to 15 years, I think, because of what is at stake for the two head coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, this could finally get Ryan Day back in, maybe not the good graces of the Ohio State fan base, but it's going to get them a lot
because
of them.
Before you go,
okay,
what I want to say on this is, I think the expectation is that Penn State is below them.
Fair. 100%.
I think
fair.
That the single game that he has to win every year is Michigan.
And he hasn't done it recently. No. And I think that's fair. But I do think that winning this game gets him back in the conversation of being in the good graces with the fans, because it keeps Ohio State as a potential Big Ten championship sure. team. And I think for a lot of fans, at least from what I've listened to nationally, it's he either has to win the Big Ten title, which would be probably a rematch with Oregon, mm-hmm. means they go undefeated, they knock off Indiana, they knock off Penn State, they knock off Michigan. Then if they can knock off Oregon, then all of a sudden you can have a conversation, well, now he's starting to win the big one. Or he has to win the title. And I don't think that he wins the title without winning the Big Ten championship.
Well, I mean, if they don't win the Big Ten, I think he gets fired.
Right. And I know Sprague, because Sprague and I have debated this for a long time about should he be fired or should he not be. And to me, that's not the debate, because Sprague is 100% right. Mm-hmm. Ryan Day, for 90% of college football, should not be fired for what he has done.
No.
But he's at the 10%, and he will be fired for what he's done.
When you are given that much talent, that much money, that mm-hmm. much is put yep. into it, the expectation is conference title at a minimum.
100%.
And if you there's a world that exists where he may not make it there.
Yeah.
And if that happens, they fire him in season.
I don't know that they fire him in season because of how recruiting is right now.
I think they want to. I think you can him. So you can get into the recruiting immediately afterwards. Because if you, I understand with your transfer windows and everything else that comes up with that, but guys are going to sit out bowl games and dip out regardless.
Right.
And I think if you get ahead of it, and again,
but a two-loss Ohio State is still going to make the playoff. Can you go into, I don't think a team would go into the playoff with a fired coach.
Well, who's their offensive coordinator?
Chip Kelly. You don't want Chip Kelly as your head coach because
I'm talking as an interim.
You're not going into a playoff, I think, with an interim.
You don't think so? Because I think it's a fever pitch right now with that fan base.
That seems a bit extreme. And look, it's never happened before because we've never had a 12-team playoff. No. We're going to find out
eventually,
this year, right?
This will happen.
This is the first time. Right now, we're doing a lot of just what do we think will happen? Yeah. And it's all based off of what the four-team in the BCS system was. But when I look at Penn State and James Franklin, like, this could finally be his way of getting the monkey off his back.
Winning a big game, and he's going to have
beating
to
beating Ohio State.
Perhaps without his quarterback. They said for sure he's
going to
play?
Cowherd said that he was going to play.
Okay.
I heard Cowherd
say
that
he does have a relationship with Franklin, so.
He does.
Wouldn't be surprising.
Now,
if he
that being said.
He's still dinged up.
The backup.
Prebula.
It's very similar to one of my high school players' names that I coach.
Prebula.
Samsonite. I was way off.
Prebula. I coached a Prebula, so yeah. It's very similar. So Prebula, I think there will be a package for him.
For him.
With how he played against Wisconsin, he fits more of Klein's system, the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, he came out and was dumb accurate with the ball and pushed it down the field.
Right. And I guess he's not the offensive coordinator. He's the quarterback coach. But he fits more of that system. They want a quarterback who is more mobile. Not that Aller is a statue back there, but he doesn't move the way that
he doesn't
the backup does. And so I wouldn't be shocked, especially with how he played against Wisconsin, that you have a package for that kid out there. And it's essentially a wildcat, but you have a true quarterback back there that can really throw. So teams have to defend the pass just as much as they have to defend running. So it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a banger.
Ohio State's currently a three-point favorite. Bang. They are dealing with their own injuries. Obviously, at left tackle, their host. Losing your left tackle for the season is a problem.
Well, and then you lost your backup, too. Yeah. You're on your third-string left tackle. Abdul Carter, like, that guy is a beast. Now, I would make the argument, at least so far this year, and maybe that's because of who's been around him, Mateo Uiagalelei is performing at a higher level than Abdul Carter. Mm-hmm. Now, Abdul Carter is getting more eyes on him, and he doesn't have a Derek Harmon in the middle like Mateo Uiagalelei does. But Uiagalelei and Abdul Carter, it's a similar defensive end, and Uiagalelei ate all game. When you needed a big stop, he's the one who got it. On third down, when you've got a down-blocking tackle, he shoved him off, and then he goes and he makes a big play. When you needed a sack, I understand that Howard slipped. Uiagalelei was there to make the big sack. Now you're having Abdul Carter, go up against your third string left tackle, that guy's going to eat. He's going to have a big game. He's my X factor.
Taking a look at this game, this could be one of those situations where nobody's picking this to be a high-scoring affair. Again, Ohio State's favored by three. Projections and prognosticators basically have this as some version of like 19-16 or 23-24. Everybody has this number one close and under 25 points. A big part of that is...
Looks like the over-under is 46.5.
Yeah, I mean, again, that's your 23-21 kind of game.
Mm-hmm. Rock fight.
23-24, yeah. And a big part of that has to do with Ohio State's defense, according to basically all the metrics, is the best first half defense in the country. Penn State's offense is one of the lesser offenses in the country. They're 50th in scoring an EPA in the first half. They are a diesel engine. And like I Dusty and I have been not shy about this. Neither of us are. Now Dusty, I think, finally jumped on my the train I'm driving. Drew Aller's not that guy. The expectation of what he is and what he can be, he feasts on bad teams. Against good teams, he does not show up.
At least based off of last year, yes. Well, and USC, he did. He has six interceptions on his career. Mm-hmm. Three of them are in that USC game. I'll give that to you. Yeah.
And in against the biggest opponents, he has not managed to deliver. And Ohio State has a chance at a little bit of redemption here for having this great defense, this lockdown defense. They weren't able to get to Dillon Gabriel at all.
Right.
They weren't able to touch him. For having that front, that's kind of wild. That's a hat tip to Oregon. If you kept
that O-line is nasty, man.
Yeah, look,
they figured it out over there.
Dillon Gabriel hit Jack Sawyer with a move that I think his hips are still recovering from. He's a monster, Sawyer. He's a little stiff, and I it's one of the things I thought coming out of that game, and it's going to be interesting to see how effective Ohio State's pass rush can be and whether or not one of their corners will get turned inside out like a linebacker in coverage.
Well, I'll tell you this. Penn State doesn't have the wide receiver group that Oregon does. I don't know if anyone, and it's bold, I don't know that anyone in the country has as deep of what Oregon's has. Yeah, okay, that's fair. So one team in the country has as deep of a wide receiver group.
Texas has the best wide receiver room in the country.
I mean, Oregon's wide receiver group from Tez Johnson
Ohio State's right there too.
Trayshon Holden to
they don't have the quarterback play to
Evan
back it up,
Stewart.
Though.
Right. So all I'm saying that is I don't know that Penn State will be able to expose the Ohio State secondary
the way Oregon did.
So they're going to have to do it by drive by drive. Now, what Penn State has that Oregon doesn't have, and Oregon has a pretty darn good tight end. That Warren kid that's playing tight end for Penn State and what they do with him and what Kotelnicki, I mean,
Kotelnicki
had him snap a ball
trust
at
me,
center and
I
score
know.
A touchdown.
I'm aware of how good he is. A tight end. He tied the FBS record for receptions for a tight end against USC.
He's unbelievable.
I understand.
So what Penn State is going to be able to do to find different ways to get him the ball, yeah. I think is also going to be key because he's not going to really go up against that secondary.
No.
He's too big. Like
no, he's an underneath monster.
Do you want to put Caleb Downs on him? No, I don't because he'll like run right through him. So you have to put someone that can truly tackle. Mm-hmm. That means you're going to put one of the linebackers on him. Are they going to be fast enough or agile enough to maintain
or
coverage
can they go
him.
Up with him because he's an athlete too
and they just won't be able to I believe and so I think that's where you're going to see the feast is like
you go
Penn State has
you,
to be able to
Penn
run
State?
The ball I have picked Penn State
wow.
and I got him with the hook
okay.
I did
got the 3.5
I got him with the 3.5
okay.
I just feel like this is the year and I might be leaning too much on Ohio State has lost two left tackles
I mean that's
they're
on
to their
deal.
Third and Penn State's defensive line is about as close to Oregon's as you're going to get. I don't think it's as good as Oregon's, but it's as close to Oregon's as you're going to get. And I think them getting after Will Howard is going to be the key to this game. If they can make life for him hard and difficult, I think that Penn State's going to be able to get this game won, and I think that they do. I think that Carter gets after Howard all game.
All right, I'm still taking Ohio State because I trust Ohio State. Slightly more than I trust Penn State, which isn't
fair.
Saying much.
Fair.
Because I don't trust either coach, and I definitely don't trust either quarterback. So I think it's going to ultimately be what you said with the Rock fight. All right, coming up next, we'll pivot to some basketball real quick, some news and notes, some injury updates. And Joel Embiid is tired of everybody being mad at him. We'll get to that more on Danny the Fan. quick pivot to the NBA here real quick as the Philadelphia 76ers continue to be newsmakers as Joel Embiid and Paul George have both returned to practice for the first time this season.
Yay!
Yay! We'll actually see somewhat competent of a team for the Philadelphia 76ers because it's been the fighting Tyrese Maxeys to start the season.
He might be the only one willing to fight.
Well, I mean, Maxey's
at least through injury.
I mean, Maxey's a really good player, but it's also become very clear he's not a number one. He's a really good number two, and if he's your number three, you're in such a great spot, which is what the Philadelphia 76ers want to do. Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers, I shouldn't say Embiid, he was not fined. The 76ers were fined. And shout out to Kyle Newbeck, who works for PHLY in Philadelphia, who tried to basically nail down Nick Nurse on, hey, your team was just fined $100,000 for failure to communicate correct injuries and what's going on with Embiid. And can you explain like why this is not being clear? And Nick Nurse went we got fined? I wasn't aware of that. Just played dumb, which...
Smart, 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 smart.
Bravo. Bravo, Nick Nurse. Like, him and Terry Stotts both had the same, like, that's not my job. Daryl got fined, not me.
It's basically, yeah, it's the equivalent of, can you comment on this comment? I'd be like, I have not seen that tweet.
Nope. Sorry. Sorry about that. But Joel Embiid did indeed have comments, and he wanted to let everybody know how he felt.
It was never decided. Like I said, it's been... Everybody has been on the same page. If your body doesn't react well, and you know, if your body tells you one thing, and I've done it. You know, from what I can tell you, I broken my face twice. I came back early with the risk of losing my vision. Had broken fingers. I still came back. So I'm not gonna see him be like. When I see people saying he doesn't want to play, I've been way too much. I've done way too much, you know, for this city, and you know, putting myself at risk, for people to be saying that. So I do think it's bullshit. Like that dude, he's not here, Marcus, whatever his name is. I've done way too much for this city to be treated like this. So. Done way too much, but like I said, I wish I was as lucky as other ones, but that doesn't mean that I'm not trying and I'm not doing whatever it takes to be out there, which I'm gonna be here pretty soon.
Okay, real quick, I'm actually with Joel Embiid on this. Joel has a body that has betrayed him, and everyone's like, oh, he's injury bound. It's not like he's out. He's not Joel Prisbilla slipping in the shower, tearing his Achilles. He's not Jay Williams disregarding his contract and wrecking his motorcycle and damn near losing his leg.
Right.
It's not either an accident or a level of stupidity that's causing him to get injured. And he is like, everybody is like, oh, he's always injured in the playoffs. And like, and he's still playing.
His body is not built for 82 games.
No, his body is not built for. Like, this is what happens when you're seven.
Too big.
When you're 7 foot one, 300 40 pounds. This is what happens. We tend to think of like, oh, you know, it's like, you know, Shaq would play through this, and Shaq does this. He's like, he's got to be tougher. It's like, Shaq, you're literally the only guy your size ever in the NBA. Like. Shaq finally came out and said the quiet part out loud for anybody who's too stupid to understand this. He played at 430 pounds.
Well, he also...
37 minutes a night.
The problem is people look at Shaq and go, that's what Joel should be.
But that's what I'm saying. Even Shaq says it.
Shaq's the outlier. He's not the
rule. He's the one of one. Yao Ming, cooked.
Didn't last long.
I mean, you looked at Bill Walton, feet broke down. Greg Oden, one leg longer than the other. It's like, when you're that big.
You break down quick.
Well, typically, our bodies are not meant to be this big. Like, that's just the reality. Like, hell, you, Will, are an outlier.
That's right.
Legit, how tall are you?
I'm 6'5".
Okay, at 6'5", I believe you were in, like, less than 5% of the entire world. Is 6'5 or taller.
That's right. I'm special. I agree.
But I'm saying, like, when you talk about the outliers of outliers,
the guy your size fit on the short bus?
Few are built like me.
That's terrible.
It's not.
I didn't ride the bus.
You should have seen him the first time you saw a full-size bus. He went, wow, they get that big?
As a teacher, I condemn what you two are doing.
But as it pertains to the bigs, like Joel Embiid has played through a lot. And I don't care that they're resting him and they're trying to figure this out. Because I just want him to be out there, and I would like to see him get to the playoffs once healthy.
This is a dumb thought in my brain, but I've heard other people say it, and I've agreed with them. If you're Philly, don't you kind of want Joel to just not do basketball until about Christmas? Think about it.
I think in their best possible case, they would, but they can't.
I know, and the NBA won't let him. And I know why the NBA won't let him, and I know why Philly won't let him, and I understand it. It's business, but like you need to be playing. You can't just let him sit and then bring him back. But when you have a guy that is this injury prone, but when he's at his peak, he is dominant, unlike any other big in the game right now. I mean, he won an MVP, and he's been, you know, the second MVP, the runner-up for MVP multiple times. If they could let Joel sit, he would be hitting his peak performance for the year right around when the playoffs start. And I think it's just unfortunate for Joel. One, he's in the most brutal city when it comes to fan bases. I mean, they literally threw batteries at Santa Claus. They hate everybody. And for Joel, he's just going to have to continue to deal with this. The problem is for Joel is that he always opens his stupid mouth. Like, just don't say it, man.
I mean, he's not going to not do that.
I know, but when he was with Team USA, he was talking about how he wasn't impressed with LeBron or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry. And that's always going to lead to a story where it's like Joel is being disrespectful to his teammates. This is going to lead to a story where it is Joel is disrespectful to the city. Joel doesn't like the city. And it's not fair how the fans are treating him. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the scrutiny would be less so if Joel didn't have these constant sound bites where he comes out and he goes,
I don't have an issue with this one. I genuinely don't. It's because he I think he is right. And I'm glad he's doing it, to be honest. Like, I get what you're saying. It just brings attention to it. But
right,
when people are questioning just your toughness and you're out there playing with a shredded knee and you're playing out there playing 100%. with your feet that are completely broken, your back is basically dust. Like
he's going to need knee replacement surgery later.
I mean, that guy's not walking in his 50s. Like, it's
no,
it's just the reality.
And I said I need a Becky out of me.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, probably. And I'm not trying to do like a whole like just shut up and dribble. Because that's not what it is. What I'm saying
there's a spot in between.
It's like when you call out of work sick, and then on your Instagram story you have, oh, here's this 30 rack I bought, you know, of beer. That's essentially what he's doing. Yeah. And it's like perception becomes reality. You can't have these types of comments and expect them not to come back at you, especially Philadelphia, for toughness.
Boy, it's a good thing I'm not on the gram.
Right? All right, coming up next in hour number two, we'll go back to this college football. The Oregon Ducks taking on the Michigan Wolverines in a big-time Big Ten matchup in the Big House. We'll get to that and more here on 1080 The Fan. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.